In 2009, Robert Harrod, an 81-year-old beloved father, married Fontelle, a woman he reconnected with after 59 years apart. Fontelle was set to move from Missouri into Bob's Placentia, California home on July 29th, but 2 days before that could happen, Bob went missing. After a thorough investigation, the police theorized that Bob had been met with foul play, possibly because of his multi-million dollar estate. Despite all of their efforts, Bob has never been located, and it's been more than 15 years since he went missing. His family and investigators are still searching for answers. Hey everyone, welcome back to Detective Perspective. My name is Derek Lavasser. I'm a licensed private investigator and former police detective. Each week I'll be covering an unsolved case in story format. I'll then give you my perspective on the investigation and provide contact information for the individuals or organizations connected to the case so that if you have any tips, you can contact them directly and maybe you can help solve a case. So if you're someone who's interested in true crime, specifically unsolved cases, and you would like to hear my opinion on those investigations, please consider subscribing, whether you're watching on YouTube or listening on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or whatever platform you use. Okay, so Robert Harrod, who I'm going to refer to as Bob for the remainder of this episode, because that's what he went by. This is an interesting case, and it's made for a Lifetime movie, for sure. It's been featured on Investigations Discovery Disappeared because of the mystery surrounding it. Whenever you have a prominent individual who has a lot of money and all of a sudden they just disappear, people want to know what happened. Because like you see in the movies, in a lot of these cases, there's some type of financial motive surrounding it. And in some of those cases, the person responsible for the disappearance is someone who actually knew the victim. So why does this happen? Well, usually it's financial in nature, especially when the victim is an older individual. We find this a lot of the times, maybe not to this extreme, but I'm sure everyone out there has heard something like this or maybe even personally experienced it for themselves. But what you will see is that as individuals get older and they're not as sharp, if they have a lot of money, sometimes family members, friends, associates will try to take advantage of that. And it can be done in a lot of ways. It can be pretty direct where they're actually taking money from that individual's account, or it can be indirect where through the process of manipulation and over a period of time, they try and convince this individual with the money that there's someone who cares about them. And then maybe in return, this elderly person will somehow include them in their trust or their estate so that once something happens to them, this person will reap those benefits. But as of right now, we don't know the who, the what, or the why, which is why I want to break down this investigation for you and hear your opinions. So with that out of the way, let's dive into this week's case. In 1950, 21-year-old Bob Harrod proposed to a woman he had been seeing for a few months. Her name was Fontelle. She said yes, and they started planning their wedding, but a few months later, he enlisted in the Marines and was sent off to California. Fontelle stayed in Missouri, where the couple had grown up. Meanwhile, Bob went to serve in the Korean War, and he lost touch with her. Bob later returned home from the war, got married to a different woman named Georgia, and welcomed three daughters, Paula, Roberta, and Julie. According to ABC News, he became an aerospace contractor and a, quote, mini real estate mogul. Fontelle also got married and had children, but she always kept the engagement ring that Bob had given her. In early 2008, Bob's wife Georgia passed away after a prolonged illness. He went through a difficult time after this. He had spent the last few years of Georgia's life caring for her and rarely left the house. After she died, he lost a lot of weight and became very depressed. Bob's beloved dog Sassy was his constant companion, but then she got sick as well and he had to put her down. Bob was completely alone at this point. Then in early 2009, Fontelle, who was also widowed, asked her daughter to find Bob. She found his number and Fontelle called him. For the next 8 weeks, they spoke on the phone every day. Bob's daughters later told Investigation Discovery that they thought Bob reconnecting with Fontelle was a good thing. They were hoping he'd start living life again, and they wouldn't have to worry about him so much. In June, Fontel flew from Missouri to California to visit Bob at his home in the 500 block of Carnation Drive in Placentia, which is just outside of Los Angeles. They spent a few days together, and then on June 29th, they got married. Fontel extended her trip until July 7th before flying back to Missouri to pack up the rest of her belongings. Fontel told Bob she planned to return to California to move into his place on July 29th. While Bob's daughters had initially been happy their father reconnected with Fontel, they were now worried that things were moving too fast. Despite this, Bob started making plans to get the house ready for Fontel. He put together a list of repairs he wanted to be made around the house and asked his housekeeper of 10 years to come over early for a thorough cleaning. On July 26th, Bob and Fontel spoke on the phone like they normally did. But when Fontel tried to call Bob on the evening of the 27th, she couldn't get a hold of him. She later told Investigation Discovery that she thought maybe he had run out to the grocery store, so she waited 20 minutes and called again, but he didn't answer. She continued trying every 20 minutes, but no one ever came to the phone. While Fontel was trying to call Bob, so was one of his daughters, and she couldn't reach him either. Bob's daughter then asked the police to do a welfare check, but when they went, he wasn't home. They searched the house and didn't find any signs of a disturbance or any other red flags that might raise their suspicions. But after hearing this, Fontel became extremely concerned, so she called the Placentia Police Department to file a missing persons report. So initially, everyone thought, okay, maybe he's just out running some errands. But as time passed, everyone became more and more concerned, and that's when the story really starts to pick up. We're going to get into it right after this break. Okay, so the following morning, an investigation into Bob's whereabouts began. The first thing the police did was canvass the neighborhood, trying to figure out the last time anyone saw Bob and to also get an idea of his patterns. They learned that Bob was a bit of a recluse. He'd leave the house to take out the trash cans, go for a walk, or go grocery shopping, but other than that, he typically stayed home. And it's unclear if any neighbors recalled seeing Bob on the 27th. The police also spoke to the people closest to Bob, including his daughters, who said Bob was showing signs of dementia and that he was afraid of the freeway, so he wasn't known to travel very far from his house. The daughters said the last time they saw their father was on the 26th. However, one of the daughters' husbands, Jeff, had been at the house on the 27th. According to the Los Angeles Times, on the morning of the 27th, Jeff went to the house to help get things ready for Fontel to move in. During his time at the house, Jeff left three times, once to go to the convenience store and twice to go to the hardware store. His last trip to the hardware store was around 2:40 p.m. when he went to Home Depot to buy a toilet tank for the upstairs bathroom. This was the last time anyone reported seeing Bob. When Jeff returned home around 3:30 p.m., Bob's housekeeper was sitting on the front stoop because no one answered the door and the front door was locked. Jeff figured maybe Bob had laid down to take a nap, so he let himself in the back door and the housekeeper followed. But Bob was not home. His glasses, credit card, and car were still at the house, but his wallet and keys were missing. Jeff told the housekeeper that Bob might have gone to visit a neighbor or out for a walk. Jeff then finished his tasks and left around 6 p.m., It's important to note that the housekeeper was still there when he left, but Bob hadn't returned. Police spoke to Bob's housekeeper, who said that when she arrived at the house, she knocked, but nobody answered. She told Investigation Discovery that she looked in the mailbox where Bob would usually keep a spare key for her, but it wasn't there. This was odd because Bob always let her know if he was going to be away and would leave a key if he wasn't going to be there. Hoping he'd come home soon, she sat on the bench in front of the house. Around 15 minutes later, Jeff pulled up and asked if she was supposed to be there. She said yes, but explained that she couldn't get inside the house. Jeff said Bob was probably taking a nap, so he opened the door and they both went inside, but the housekeeper said she had a bad feeling. While they were at the house, the housekeeper asked Jeff to go upstairs and check if Bob was truly napping. Jeff went upstairs but didn't come back down. After a few minutes, she called up to him and asked if Bob was up there, and he said no. The housekeeper was a little freaked out, but she started cleaning anyway, hoping Bob would come home soon. When she went into Bob's bedroom, she saw his bed wasn't made. Now, for some people like myself, that wouldn't be a big deal, but in 10 years of cleaning Bob's house, she had never seen his bed unmade, and it was completely out of character for him. Again, she pushed her negative feelings aside and continued cleaning. She was there for about 3 hours and left shortly after Jeff. During her entire time there, she never saw Bob. Based on what we know so far, the police thought Bob might have gotten cold feet about his quick marriage to Fontel. According to the Orange County Register, they thought he might be somewhere cooling off, so they didn't start a serious investigation, believing he would come home on the 29th when Fontel was set to arrive. But when Fontel got to California on the 29th, Bob was still missing. Now, even though he was missing, Fontel did start staying at Bob's house, hoping he'd come home soon. When Bob didn't return after Fontel got to California, the police knew something was wrong and launched a full investigation. They initially checked Bob's bank records and discovered that he hadn't made any large withdrawals around the time of his disappearance. And after July 27th, he stopped using his bank accounts and credit cards altogether. Investigation Discovery reported that the police also searched Bob's car. In the glove box, they found an address written on a piece of paper. They thought that it could be a lead, so they visited the address and learned that it belonged to a couple who had been friends with Bob for many years. When asked if Bob was there, they said no and said the last time they saw him was a few weeks prior when he drove Fontel over to visit them. The police found this interesting because Bob's daughters had said he was scared of driving on the freeway, which was the only way to get to the couple's house. The police then spoke to Bob's doctor and asked if Bob was afraid to drive or had dementia. The doctor said no. Bob was very healthy for his age and of sound mind. When police interviewed Fontel, they learned that she had spoke to Bob on the evening of July 26th. He told her that his daughters had come over earlier that day and argued about money. Fontel told Investigation Discovery that Bob said his daughters were upset because he planned to include Fontel in his estate, which was worth millions. However, his daughters said that wasn't true. They didn't talk about Fontel that day. They explained to Investigation Discovery that when their mom Georgia passed away, a trust was set up for all three daughters, which Bob was in charge of. And by law, he had to provide updates and he hadn't been doing that. So at the start of 2009, they wrote him a letter demanding he follow the rules. Bob was upset and asked for a 6-month break from them. When the 6 months ended, he scheduled a meeting with them for July 26th. He said he'd have all the paperwork for the trust ready and wanted to discuss dividing George's jewelry. But when the daughters arrived, Bob didn't have all the paperwork, so they started asking questions and he got frustrated. One daughter told the Orange County Register, quote, "Dad got heated. He's very selfish, very conditional." The daughters admitted that things did get tense for a little while, but one of them found the missing documents and cleared up the confusion, and they all left on good terms. As you can probably guess, Fontel disagreed with the story. She said that when she spoke to Bob that evening, he was still very upset about the meeting. He specifically said his daughters were mad because he was adding Fontel to the house, checking account, and estate. The police investigated Bob's plans to add Fontel to the house, checking account, and estate, and they did find paperwork showing he intended to do those things, but he did not plan to add her to the trust. On July 31st, the police brought Bob's son-in-law, Jeff, in for questioning because he was the last person known to see Bob. Jeff provided receipts showing he was at Home Depot around 2:30 p.m., and surveillance footage confirmed this. The police asked Jeff if he had seen anything suspicious on the 27th, and he mentioned an SUV that drove by slowly a few times. He also mentioned that the SUV was similar to a car owned by Bob's barber. After this meeting, the police also searched Jeff's vehicle but didn't find anything suspicious. The police then decided to look into the barber, who was actually a woman in her 40s. And we're going to dive into this barber and how she's connected to Bob right after this break. So Bob's daughters told Investigation Discovery that the barber had been in Bob and Georgia's lives for quite some time, and after Georgia died, Bob and the barber became very close. In fact, when the family gathered to spread Georgia's ashes, the barber showed up, which was surprising to the daughters since everyone there was very close to the family, and they didn't have her in that same category. That day, Bob and the barber seemed like they were dating, which really bothered the daughters. They thought the barber was just interested in Bob's money, and they may not have been wrong, because soon after that, one of the daughters who was helping Bob with his finances noticed he was loaning the barber thousands of dollars and spending a lot of money on gifts for her. According to the Orange County Magazine, he loaned her $86,000. After Bob married Fontel, he asked the barber to repay the loan. After hearing this, the police looked into the barber's whereabouts on the day Bob disappeared. She claimed that she didn't drive Bob's house and provided an alibi for that day, which the police were able to confirm. Despite this, the daughters told Investigation Discovery they still believed that Barbara was involved in Bob's disappearance. They thought her motive was to avoid repaying the money she owed their father, but the police disagreed, believing that there was no motive because if Bob disappeared, so would the money and gifts, so there would be no incentive for the barber to take Bob out. As the investigation continued, the daughters began to believe that Fontelle just wanted their dad's money. However, they soon realized that she wasn't on any of Bob's accounts. He hadn't been able to add her before he disappeared. The daughters then consulted their attorney to figure out their options. According to what Fontelle told Investigation Discovery, after the daughters met with their attorney, they showed up at Bob's house where Fontelle was staying, and they told her she needed to leave. The daughters have denied this, claiming they only told her their attorney said that they should have never let her stay there. Soon after, Bob's daughter stopped speaking to Fontelle and filed a claim in probate court for control of Bob's estate. One daughter told the Orange County Register that they took the matter to court because they wanted to free up some money to offer a reward for information leading to Bob's whereabouts, as well as pay for his bills and maintenance on the house. However, the judge ruled against them, and Fontelle was allowed to stay in Bob's home. The investigation continued with no signs of Bob anywhere. Then in October, the police told the Orange County Register that there was no evidence of a crime or any suspects. They specifically said the barber and her husband, as well as the daughters and the son-in-law, were not suspects. However, that didn't last long because just a few months later, the police announced that they were now treating Bob's disappearance as a possible homicide. The investigation stalled, so Bob's daughters hired a private investigator and posted flyers. Then in April of 2013, Investigation Discovery released a disappeared episode about Bob's case. The police stated they believe the details of Bob's disappearance, quote, lie in the battle for his money. A few months later, the police disclosed that their leads had run dry, but they had recently asked the county's cold case unit for help. The police further said they believed that Bob was met with foul play, possibly by someone he knew. In 2014, Bob's daughters had their father declared dead since he had been missing for 5 years. According to Orange Coast Magazine, the daughters then inherited their father's house and forced Fontelle to move out, so she returned to the Midwest. In April of 2019, the police revealed that they had recently identified two Placentia residents as persons of interest in Bob's disappearance. These two individuals were arrested but later released pending further investigation. So regarding bringing these two people in, first off, I don't know what they were arrested for, if they were actually arrested or just maybe detained or agreed to come in on their own. But they could have been arrested on a different charge with the mindset of the detectives really being that they wanted to investigate them for Bob's disappearance. However, it doesn't look like they were really charged with anything. So this could work in their favor where maybe they gathered information that now they can go and investigate and see if these individuals are telling the truth, or they may have hurt their case because now these two people know that the cops are on to them and nothing stopping them from fleeing the state or even the country. Now, I will say this, the police told KTLA-5 that these individuals had been on their radar for a long time. They declined to identify the pair, citing an ongoing investigation, but described them as associates of Bob's. The police further told Spectrum News 1 that based on everything they knew, it seemed that Bob did not disappear of his own free will. Instead, someone took him from his home and he was met with foul play. The police reiterated that Bob's family, including his daughters and son-in-law, had been cleared and were not suspects in the case. At that time, one of Bob's daughters offered a $50,000 reward. She told Spectrum News 1 that she knows it's unlikely she'll ever see her father again, but hopes that someone out there who knows something will notify authorities. The following month, the police renewed their calls for tips concerning Bob's possible murder, but unfortunately, the investigation continued to stall. There were no major updates until August 22nd, when Fontelle passed away at the age of 86. Since her death, there have been no further updates. Bob is still missing, and his family remains desperate for answers. Okay, let's kick off this perspective, and I'm going to jump right into the most unlikely scenario. First person of interest, Fontelle. I do not think she was involved. She was about to move in with Bob. She was married to him. She was going to be added to most of his assets. She had more to gain with him alive than if he was dead. I do not believe she was involved in any way, shape, or form. Let's talk about the daughters and the son-in-law. Hearing everything that I've heard, you can't say with 100% certainty that they weren't involved, but I would put money on it that they weren't involved just because they had an argument over money, which, by the way, they probably did. It doesn't mean that they're going to go and kill their father because of it. I know we see that in the movies, and yes, it does happen, but it's very uncommon. I will say the son-in-law, Jeff, his whereabouts, how that all worked out, that's a little bit more suspicious, and I'm sure law enforcement felt the same way. But unfortunately, that's always the case when you're the last person to see the victim alive. Everyone's going to look at you. And the fact that there's really no one to corroborate his story as far as when he saw Bob at the house, when he didn't, it does get a little difficult because the housekeeper, although she was there, she never saw Bob. So for all we know, Jeff could be lying. But again, I don't think that's the case. I think he's just wrong place, wrong time. And I feel like he went over there with good intentions and everything that he had probably said was true. So that leaves us to a couple things that are uncommon for Bob and out of character for him, which is not leaving the key in the mailbox and not making his bed. When it comes to the bed not being made, it could be one of two things. One, he was in bed when he was attacked by whoever his offender was. Or two, he got up in the morning and immediately after getting up, before having the chance to make his bed, he was attacked then. That's also possible. As far as the key not being in the mailbox, he probably planned on being there all day, so it was never his intention to leave a key out there for the housekeeper because he planned on being home. The only problem with this scenario is that Jeff said he saw Bob in the morning. So if he saw him in the morning, what was going on then? And that would mean that whatever happened to Bob happened during one of the times when Jeff left the house, which, very small window, but obviously it's possible. You could also be looking at a scenario where Bob did leave the house and decided to walk somewhere to meet someone, and whoever that person was, they had other intentions, and that's why he never came home. Overall, I think the person that we're looking for here is someone who had something to gain or something to maintain by Bob's disappearance and or death. What do I mean by that? Well, whoever this person is, they would have something to gain if Bob passed away or was no longer around. That could be through an estate, that could be through money that was owed to them, that could be the house, the property, and then in that vein, you would say, okay, it's got to be one of the daughters or the son-in-law. That's fair. But then we have to look at the other side of the coin, someone who would maintain what they have. That's where you start looking at the barber and other people like that in Bob's life. I'm sure the barber wasn't the only one that Bob had maybe been taken care of financially. He was very well off. He was lonely. And you do find situations where elderly people will almost pay for that friendship or that companionship. So what other people besides the barber were hanging out with Bob but did a better job of staying off anybody's radar and yet still had the same motivation, which was financial in nature? Those are the people we have to try to identify. And you may be sitting there asking yourself, well, Derek, you haven't mentioned the possibility that it could have been a home invasion gone wrong, or while he was on a walk, he could have been attacked. We would have found Bob by now. If that were the case, he would have been located, and he hasn't been. And for those individuals, as law enforcement said, if he's gone, there's really nothing for them to benefit from. So I just don't see that as a likely scenario. I do think that law enforcement, although they are struggling with this case, they're on the right path. The person who committed this crime knew Bob and more than likely knew the house, and they had something to lose or keep by Bob no longer being around. If we are able to solve this case, we're probably going to find that the person was in Bob's life before his disappearance. And more than likely, that person was benefiting from Bob in some type of capacity, more than likely financial in nature. So where does that leave us now? Well, I'm always honest with you guys. I don't know. Will this one ever be solved? I wouldn't put it at the top of my list. I think the person who's involved with this, they may be the only person who knows what happened. And if they keep that secret to themselves, they may die with it. And that's unfortunate, but it's a real possibility. The only exception to that would be if the person who committed this crime was hired by someone else. There would have to be an incentive for them to come forward, But that scenario is more likely than someone just coming forward now and confessing to their own crimes. But we don't cover these cases just to cover them. We always hope that someone will see or hear what we're talking about here and come forward with new information. So just to recap, Robert Harrod, also known as Bob, was last seen alive around 2:30 p.m. on July 27, 2009, at his house in the 500 block of Carnation Drive in Placentia, California. Bob is 5'11", 140 pounds with bluish-gray eyes. He mostly kept his head shaven, but when he went missing, he did have a little gray hair coming in. He was last seen wearing white shorts, white knee socks, a white belt, a white hat, and white Reebok tennis shoes. The color of his shirt is unknown. If you have any information in this case, please call the Orange County Crime Stoppers at 855-847-6227. My final words go out to Bob's family, specifically his daughters. I can't imagine what it would be like to lose a parent like this and to not have answers. And on top of all of that, to be accused of potentially being connected to their death or disappearance. This is a really difficult situation. We really have to fight and solve this one, not only for Bob, but for a family that has gone through so much. That's going to do it for me, guys. Everyone stay safe out there. I'll see you next week.